Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our first reading gives us the summary of the life of Jesus Christ, beginning from his public ministry in Galilee until the ascension, where Jesus was taken up back to his Father to go back into his glory. The feast of the ascension of the Lord, as given the first and the third reading, is not the separation of Jesus Christ from us, because the one who goes up is the same person who came down. So he's going back into the glory of his Father. That's why this solemnity is not to be separated from other solemnities of the church, namely the Pentecost, which we are going to celebrate next week, and also the mystery of the incarnation of the Lord, which we celebrate in Christmas, the coming of God, the Son of God, becoming one of us. And in those mysteries, we see that the divinity of God and our humanity become united. So when Jesus ascends into heaven, he does not go there alone by himself. The gospel puts it clearly that he was taken up into heaven. And being the body, as we prayed in our first prayer, the opening prayer, that where the head has gone before, then the body should follow in hope. That's why the departure for Jesus Christ is not really separation, because he will never separate himself from us. And that's why he says, "You rejoice, rejoice, because I'm going." And he promises the power of the Holy Spirit, and gives us a mandate to remain where we are, to remain in Jerusalem until we receive the power, until we receive the Holy Spirit. And once we receive the Holy Spirit, and then we can go out. We can go and preach in his name. The ascension is usually celebrated 40 days after the resurrection. So in some parts of the world, they celebrate it on Thursday, because usually 40 days from the resurrection of the Lord will be on Thursday. And the number, I believe that you know the meaning of the symbolism of the number 40 in the Bible, because the number 40 will occur many times in the Bible, and it has its own meaning. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was appearing to his disciples and apostles and to many, many other people. And during the appearances, he was preaching, teaching them what to do, teaching them about being his disciples, being his apostles. And that's why I said that after being with a teacher for 40 days, in the Jewish mentality, It's believed that someone, a student, can now preach or teach the same teachings he received from the teacher. So Jesus Christ has been appearing to his disciples for 40 days. And then he's taken up by his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe to give time also to his disciples to act by their own, but he's not really acting alone, because he's always present through the sacrament. He's always present in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we celebrate this feast, sometimes we may think that Jesus has ceased to be a human like us. Or even when he came down, he ceased to be divine, the Son of God. The humanity and our humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, they become united in one. And that's why we share in that divinity of God, the same way he shares in ours. But there is a problem in the first reading, remaining looking at the skies to wait for Jesus Christ to come back. Imagine if we were these disciples at that time, and then Jesus, after blessing us, then he will be taken up. What will be our reaction? How are we going to feel? It's like maybe a son going away from the family, or a father or parents going away from their kids. How do we feel? Of course, we'll say, I'll miss you. Maybe some will say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You'll be okay. In the same way Jesus Christ is telling us, you be calm. I'll send you the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is not to make us lazy people. It's not to make us adult like these people who are just like looking at the skies, waiting. And then the angel were sent to come and tell them, stop wasting your time. The way you saw Jesus Christ going up, he'll be the same way he'll come back. So we Christians, we have reason to live with hope. We have reason to rejoice, remaining always happy. Why? Because we have hope, and we know and we believe that where Jesus Christ has gone, also one time, we will go there. Alleluia. Alleluia. Oh, you forgot already. Alleluia. I mean, Alleluia. It's not so strong. Alleluia. That one is more alive. It's whether Alleluia or Shalom. Shalom means peace. You know that. Just make sure if all of us were on the same point, not to sleep. I'm about to finish, so be patient. So the ascension of the Lord reminds us that our humanity has been taken up with him, the same way we receive his divinity within us. And that's why the time we are waiting for him to come back for the second time and then to take us from this earth to his world, we have to do something. We have to do something. It's like what we call contemplative life and active life. Active life means that you are always busy with people outside or busy with the family. And the contemplative life means that you are always busy with the affairs of the Lord, spending maybe the whole day in the church, adoration, praying. But those kind of lives, they should not be separated from one another. Because the more you pray, you should become also more closer to God. The more you become closer to God, the more you should be closer to your family. That's why I've seen some people, they spend the whole day praying, or doing apostolates, and when they go home, there is nothing to eat for the children. There's nothing left for the children. That way of living Christian life is not Christian. Because we know that I should pray and then I should have time for my family. I should have time for my work and I should have time for God, because God is the owner of everything. So the power we have received in through the Holy Spirit is the power to do good things. It's the power to act, to help the people around us. It's the power to practice peace, to become instruments of God's peace in our families, in our communities, in this church. And the apostles receive a special power to forgive sins, as Jesus says, after he blessed them and then he gave them the power, that repentance should be preached in his name to all the nations. And these all the nations, they mean people from different cultures and different tribes, that they have to receive this gospel of conversion, this gospel of repentance. And how do we repent from our sins? It's through the sacrament of confession. And only the apostles, only the priests, those who have been ordained to that ministry, they will forgive our sins. They will reconcile us to God. It's not the power that, because Jesus Christ has everything, has power over everything, and then we'll look for glorification from people, because the one who sent me is powerful, and therefore the priests or the people, Christians, are also powerful the same way as politicians, they use their power. The power we have is not to dominate, to have dominion over people. The power we have is to guide the people to Jesus Christ, is to serve the children, is to serve those who need any help. It may be material help or spiritual help or psychological help or moral help. You are there because Jesus Christ has given his power to you to do good things, to care about the sick, to preach his gospel so that all the nations, they will rejoice. But before you do that, you have to be sent. That's why he said, remain first in Jerusalem while waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And after they will receive that power, then that will be the time they will be sent out. That's why from that time, then we become courageous. And all of us here, we are baptized. You have been confirmed. And after the confirmation, a person becomes mature to speak in the name of the Lord, to speak in the name of the church, and to protect the church. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us pray that this Holy Eucharist will help us to be courageous, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to our friends, to our family members, and to wherever we might be going, and to pray that the good Lord will help us to fix our minds on the things of high, because we are living in this world, but we don't belong to this world. He has gone, and in other version, he said, I'm going to prepare places for you. So everyone should live according to the promise of Jesus Christ. And we know that, we believe that Jesus Christ will not deceive himself. He has promised and he will do so. And once we receive that power, we'll be able to open our hearts to his word. We'll be able to approach him in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And once we receive him, and then we become courageous in doing good things, in saying good things, in becoming the source of blessings to whoever we meet, especially starting from our own families.